Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome, welcome, welcome on this lovely Sunday morning with myself, Muhammad Lambat, on Radio Islam, medium wave 1548. And we're on the globe-trotting program, alhamdulillah. We try to trot all over the world when it comes to the program on Sunday morning, and we thoroughly enjoy doing that, going around the world, alhamdulillah, shukr, alhamdulillah. It's just a pleasure to do that all the time. And it's something which I myself have learned so much from when it comes to travel. And it's so comfortable for me to note when people meet me and tell me that you just give us the comfort of sitting in our home without a visa, without an unabridged birth certificate, without a plane ticket, without packing the bags. We travel with you around the world. And I just enjoy it. And lovely. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Great. Shukr alhamdulillah. Now, there's been many confusing issues when it comes to this birth certificate that we've had, unabridged birth certificate issues. We're going to be discussing that very, very briefly in a few minutes' time. But before that, in lots of towns around the country, especially in the whole Gauteng region, there's Istisqa Namaz that has been taking place for rain. Inshallah, we all go for the salat. We pray to Allah that, Ya Allah, you make it easy, bring rains down. With all that, let us try and our akhlaq is to change. During this Istisqa namazes, we hear the ulama talking of, it's not just the namaz itself, there's more to it than that. Let us try and abide by that, take out our zakah. There's so much more to it. Unite, the families unite, brothers unite, sisters unite. Let us do that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala withhold the rains when it comes to all those issues we find as petty issues. But those are grave sin issues. And Allah make it possible that when He changes hearts of people and make it possible that when that happens, the rains will come. And we make dua to the Almighty Allah. Ya Allah, it's not only that the rains that we want. The additional word we should put in our du'as is, Ya Allah, give us beneficial rain. Allah can give us rain, alhamdulillah. We can get rain in buckets. But you don't want that to happen where it damages crops, it damages homes, it damages whatever belongings of people. Ya Allah, give us beneficial rain. We make dua for that. So inshallah, Allah give us the rains with all this awareness that now we have to do that. And we find that all these Christian organizations, these missionaries, they are also now going out and praying, asking for rain. And inshallah, Allah will accept. But we know for a fact, it's our akhlaq that has to change. So we make dua to the Almighty Allah, Ya Allah, you make it easy for us. You change our hearts. You make it possible that because of our akhlaq, Allah makes it that the entire world, and like now in South Africa, we have the droughts. Allah makes one and all benefit. From the ant to the elephant, everybody has to benefit, with human beings in between. So that is the dua that we make to the Almighty Allah. So it's it rests on our shoulders as Muslims. So please, let us pick up the phone, or let us, in our hearts, Ya Allah, whoever has harmed me, I forgive them. And sincerely, if you do that, you have peace of mind. So let us do that. And inshallah, if that happens, if we don't have the guts of going and telling others, sometimes you go ask others for forgiveness and they reject you, they abuse you, whatever it may be. If you feel that is not the right way to do it, or if that is not the way that you want to go, you want to do it peacefully, you forgive that person. And inshallah, Allah will accept it. Allah knows what's in hearts of hearts. As outsiders, as human beings, we all look at one another and we say, that one is like this. We point fingers at one another. This one is like that. He doesn't do this, or she doesn't do that, whatever it is. We don't know who's burning the midnight oil. We don't know who's on that musalla at 1, 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning. We do not know that. So let us not be judgmental. Let us not judge people. Very, very important. And let us ourselves ask for forgiveness to one another. And let us be kind to one another. That is very, very important, inshallah. Now, I don't want to sound like a preacher here when it comes to these things. But, you know, when it comes to these simple things, we all have skeletons in our closets. But Allah knows what's in our hearts. Allah knows what's in our hearts. And the people, we find many a times that the people will point fingers at one another and say, that one is like this, and he does this, and he does that, and he says like this, and he's... Yeah, that's in front of you. You don't know what he's doing at night. You don't know what's his taluk between himself and Allah. So let us not judge people. very, very important. So let us make dua to the Almighty Allah, Ya Allah, please give us beneficial rains. It's needed. And we see what's happening, and it's becoming a dire situation. It's needed. We have to make this dua, and Ya Allah, please have mercy on us. Have mercy on those animals out in the fields. Have mercy on all those people that water is a necessity for one and all. Human beings, animals, insects, anything, you creatures, reptiles, you name it. Every animal, every human being, every soul, every plant, every piece of soil on this earth needs the water. How important it is. Let us make dua. Ya Allah, please accept from us, Ya Allah. Please accept from us, inshallah, Ya Allah. Okay, enough of that now. Let me talk about the unabridged birth certificate. There's been some confusion. I came through a border in these days. I came through a border and I found there's so much of confusion that while I was standing in a line with my passports and so on, and with an unabridged certificate in my hand, one of the officials saw me with an unabridged birth certificate in my hand and came straight up to me and said, "Can I borrow your birth certificate? I need to show these people. I need to show those people standing there because they're arguing with me. I gave it to them and I'm watching them. Those people are arguing that, no, the law has come out that we do not need unabridged birth certificates. We do, as South Africans, need unabridged birth certificates to leave the country for a minor who's under the age of 18. It's a must for an unabridged birth certificate for a South African citizen. For a foreigner coming into South Africa, it's been already passed, but not promulgated as yet. So we, at the moment, foreigners still require unabridged birth certificates to come into the country until it is punched into law. And that is according to the border control that I went through, and I specifically asked them, I said, this is what I'm hearing, I'm watching those people there as well. And I know that the law has, I know it's been passed that the foreigners do not need it. And they explained to me, they brought out some papers, they showed me, they said, here's it, it's not yet stamped into law, but yes, it's correct what you're telling us, it's going to be happening, it just need to be passed and it need to be punched and confirmed. Once we get the go-ahead on our side, we will stop it then. But for now, it's needed. So please be very, very careful. And I found that there were lots of people that had to turn back while we were in those lines, simply because of the confusion. So let us, before we're leaving, before we're going anywhere, now that we are on holiday times already, we've reached our times where, as we know, when it comes to this time of the year, everybody's now ready to go. Bags are starting to get packed and so on. For some, others get bags packed the last 10 minutes before flying out. But anyway, be that as it may, those that are getting their bags packed as well, very important, before you leave, make inquiries. There's websites as well, government DHA websites. Check on there. Find out exactly what's the rule, current rule, because it's changing day to day. So check it out before you leave. I may give you information today. That information may change by Wednesday, and then you blame me for that. But whatever, be that as it may, I don't want to pass wrong information. I try to be updated all the time with it. But just please check it out before you leave. And it is, I can understand and I know exactly how it feels when you get there and they tell you, sorry, you cannot because your documentation is not in order. So if you are traveling with minors, please get that in order. Another thing which I noticed and I saw, if anybody is traveling, one parent is traveling with a child out of the country, make it a point that you do have that visa, affidavit of the other parent together with a letter and a copy of that other parent's passport or ID to state that they have given you permission to take the child out, and the child's details has to be on that on the affidavit as well. Please get that in order, because they can be sticky sometimes, they can be difficult, and they can make it difficult for you, and in that case, you don't want unwanted problems. So please, I urge you to do that. So alhamdulillah, it's so far so good. People have people abide by rules, but there's confusion, so it's not that they do not abide by rules, it's just confusion. So let us get that sorted out, inshallah. Another thing, when it comes to traveling, air travel especially, now I mentioned this last year sometime, I spoke about it, and alhamdulillah we had good responses on that, where it was more like, I would say to a certain extent it was about entertaining the way we put it forward. But it's a fact on when you're traveling, the do's and don'ts of air travel. I want to bring it up once again. Like I said, I did it last year, but I want to bring it up once again. Now, there are the do's and don'ts of air travel, but before that, you have your travel allowances that you have. There's confusion about that as well. Many people do not know what they're allowed to take out and what they're allowed to bring back in the form of goods or whatever it may be when it comes to them coming back into South Africa. When you're traveling out of the South African borders and you're taking currency out, you are allowed on your passport, you are allowed 1 million rand travel allowance per annum. 1 million rand travel allowance per annum per adult going out of the country. If you're taking it out in US dollars, you're taking it out in pounds, you're taking it out in rupees, you're taking it out in Vietnamese dong, whatever it may be, you take out 1 million rands, you are allowed up to that. Then, a child on a child's passport under the age of 18 is allowed 200,000 South African rands per person, per passport, per annum, traveling out of the country. So it's 1 million for an adult, 200,000 per child under the age of 18. So that is the currency allowance of a person going out of the country. When coming back into the country, you do your purchases on that side, whatever it may be. You are allowed 5,000 rand worth of goods duty-free coming into the country. So if you come through OR Tambo Airport, for example, you bring your bags through with you when you come in. Your purchases made on that side. They may ask you here for proof of purchase. They may ask you, that is law, you have to give it to them. Otherwise, they will evaluate it at their discretion. You are allowed 5,000 rand worth of items to bring back into the country, duty-free. Anything over and above 5,000 rands, you pay for. You pay a percentage of the value of what you brought in. So if you brought in 20 or 30,000 rand worth of items from abroad into the country, your first 5,000 is free. Thereafter, the difference, you're going to pay a duty on there. And when you're coming into the airports, you have the red light and you have the green light. Now, I'm being like a school teacher here because there is confusion. There's people that don't know what to do. Sometimes you have first-time travelers. Those that travel often will tell me, who doesn't know that? Yes, of course, I know. I can hear. I can read your mind. Yes, who doesn't know that? But the people that travel for the first time to go out and come back in, they don't know that. So we try to help those people. So if one person can just grab from here now what I'm telling you, alhamdulillah, I'm quite satisfied. So to come back in, you have your red light and you have your green light. If you have anything over and above 5,000 rand, walk through the red light. They will stop you there. They will ask you to produce what you have. You show them what you have. You give them the values. They will then calculate and tell you, okay, fine, you're paying so much VAT or so much duties, whatever it may be, and then you can go through. But from my experience, what I have seen many, many, many a times, when you come in and you go through to the red light, you look at them, greet them kindly, whatever it may be, talk to them, show them, tell them, here's my stuff, this is what I've brought in, everything is open for you to check, this is what it is, this is the values, you now check and you give me a value of what I should pay. And believe me when I tell you, 9 out of 10, they will give you a minimal amount of 200 rand, 100 rand, 150 rand for a 20, 30,000 rand value. They'll tell you, just pay that, you're finished. Come, sign it off, take it and go. Why? Because of your honesty. So they give you that leeway and they let you go through. Believe me, I've seen it. Go through clearly. You do not have to come in from your Umrah trip now with bangles right up to your shoulder, I would say. It happens. I've got that, you know, when it comes to this time of the year for Umrah, when it comes to Hajj and so on. Those guys at the airport, it's their Christmas for them. Because they tell us, and they tell me clearly, 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 they tell me that Yellow Man, sir, your people, when they come back from Mecca, when they go there to cleanse themselves, those are the people we want to catch. Because those are the people that come with their bangles from their wrist right up to their elbows. They come in with 10 and 20 watches and say, no, these are the watches we wear every day when we took it from here, we wear it every day. Every day we change our watches and we sing, you know, it's our watches. Who are you fooling? Who are you fooling? Believe me, it happens. And we've seen it. And I laugh. And they sit and tell me these things. When I sit at the airport with these guys and I sit and talk and they tell me, it's just a joke. And it's a joke in front of them. Yes. But in hearts of heart, it's an embarrassment to us. Because they clearly say it. Yellow Man, sir, when you go to Mecca, when you go to Mecca and Saudi Arabia, when you go for your big Hajj and your small Hajj, this is what you do. This is what you bring. This is how many bags the people bring. This is how they lie. That's what happens. And, well, that is between us, between you and Allah, whatever it may be, when you're coming with all those things. But all I'm telling you is those people at the airport customs, they know about it. And when they catch you, that is why now they're making it so difficult for us to go out with currency as well. We're going, if we go out with legal currency, they look at the Muslim, they're stopping us. Believe me, they're stopping us and they're checking. It happened to us in recent, a month ago, it happened, month and a half ago, it happened to us. A couple of us were going out, normal, clear, no issues going to Vietnam. They stopped us to check, because why? They saw Muslims going out. They say, ah, that's a mensa. Let us see your currency, no problem, present it. Where's your receipts? Present it, fine, everything okay. Can we search you for other monies, which hasn't been declared? No problem, search us. Check everything is in order. Okay, you can go now. Sorry to have stopped you, but we had to stop you because of certain incidences that took place here. Unfortunately, as Muslims, we are being targeted because of our faults, because of our wrongdoings. That is why we're being targeted. Not because we are Muslim and we don't have a beard. No. Not because of that. It's because of the wrongdoings of Muslims that are doing these things, going out of the country with monies like this. And they're stopping us. Last week Tuesday, I was with one of the guys from SARS at the airport, sitting and talking. And he's telling me, he says, they have got a mandate now that when they see an Indian, especially when they see an Indian with a beard, they must stop them. When they see a Muslim name in the passport, they must stop them. We must search them. They've been given a mandate to do that. Be it a direct mandate or an indirect mandate, whatever it is, but they are given the mandate to do that. Stop those men, sir. Search them, check them, because you don't know what can happen. And exactly, an incident took place another big incident took place a week and a half ago. Another big incident took place, which didn't come in the press. The SARS official mentioned to me, this is what happened, but we got it sorted out. Well, I understood what he said when we got it sorted out. But that's exactly what happens. And they know what's going on. And now, for them also, it's their Christmas now. They're going to have fun with it. So that is why, let us be one up, go in clean, come out clean, be above board. And let us show them that, yes, we are above board. When we come back, we go through the green light. If we don't, we have values of under 5,000 rand. If we got values above 5,000 rand, let us stay in the red light area, go through, show it to them, and continue. Because in that way, Allah will be happy with you. Allah will be happy with you. And He will soften those people's hearts and let you go through. And we've seen it time and time again. You read your wazifas, you come through, you stand in front, you tell them, this is what I have, show them what you have, and Allah puts pity in their heart and they say, okay, fine, you can carry on. It happened many a times. So let us do that. Let us be safe on our side to do that. Let us not do what is happening at the moment. And that is not fair. That is not on. So let us be very, 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 very careful. So that is just one of the issues of when it comes to traveling, when it comes to your currency, which is something which I really wanted to bring about and make sure that, because there's so much of confusion. There's so much of confusion when it comes to how much of money. We find it happens all the time. People ask. They don't know what values. But you are allowed legally to take out 1 million rand and a child 200,000 rand on a South African passport. We'll continue right after the news. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back. If you just joined us, you're listening to myself, Muhammad Lambat, on Radio Islam, Medium Wave 1548, on this bright Sunday morning, alhamdulillah. And I really appreciate all those that are listening to our program. I'm getting a couple of SMSs and a couple of questions here already, alhamdulillah. But I want to wrap up on that issue of the unabridged birth certificate and also of the currency that I've spoken of. I've just had somebody that asked me a question now during the news break. When it comes to taking out rands from South Africa, what value are you allowed to take out from South Africa? You are allowed 1 million rands, irrespective of what currency it is in, be it rands, be it riyals, be it dollars, be it pounds. You are allowed 1 million rand. Now, the same person asked me a question. If you have riyals, if our Kala and Mama gave us riyals when they came to visit us before going out, they gave us a packet of riyals and said, I waparje, you use this when you go to Saudi Arabia, and mararu dua kreje, you make dua for me, inshallah. Alhamdulillah. Let me take it. Ah, why not? Take the riyals. But you do have a bit of a problem because it's got to be declared. And they're going to ask you where you got it from, if they stop you, that is. They're going to ask you where you got it from, because all currency that is taken out of the country has to be taken out from the banks or from wherever you get your currency. You have to have a receipt for that particular money. If somebody else has traveled abroad and has taken out money on their passports, came back into the country and had the currency with them for more than 2 or 3 months, that currency certificate expires. You're not allowed to use that currency certificate again for your next travel. So if you got that money from somebody else as well, it poses an issue. It's also solely at the discretion of the officer that stops you or arrests you or asks you. You have to give them that information. You have to tell them where you got it from, which they will not accept, obviously, because they want documentational proof. So it is very difficult to take currency out that is not declared on your passport or you don't have a receipt for. You have to have that. That is why when you go to any banks asking for currency change to take across and abroad, you're taking it on your passport. Previously, they used to stamp it in your passport that the value of currency you used to take out. Currently, they are not doing that. They give you a receipt for that. They give you a receipt, and where on that receipt, what happens is, when you give your money in for exchange, they give you the receipt, you got to present proof of residence, current proof of residence. You got to present your current ticket. So they are giving you currency on your current ticket. Not on, now they give you currency, you fly after 2 or 3 flights, then you can use this currency. Doesn't work like that. You're taking it on your current ticket. And that's what the information that they have in front of them, and that's what they check for. So be very, very careful when it comes to taking out currency from South Africa. People give you many a times, people give gifts when you're going abroad. They'll give you $100, $200, whatever it may be. People with bigger hearts give you $500 and they say, I whopper jay on that side. Not a problem, take it with you. But it's a chance that you're taking when you're going abroad, and if you get caught up with that, it can pose a problem. They can confiscate it. For them, at the border control, they can confiscate it. Depending on the person's heart, like I say, and if they feel pity for you, they'll say, take it and go. It's fine, we understand, $500. Your granny gave it to you for using on their side. Okay, take it and go. But if they want to be funny, they can tell you, hey, you didn't declare that, we're confiscating it. They'll give you a receipt for a confiscation receipt. They'll give you that and they'll let you go. And then you must come back and you must prove. And there's a long story behind it. You can get it back though, but then there's a long story behind it. And then you got to take it back to the banks. That is why when you come back with whatever currency you have left over, within a certain period of time, you have to go back and change it at the banks from dollars to rands. You have to do that by law. That is the law of currency when you're taking out and bringing in again. So to answer the gentleman's question, yes, you can, but you are legally not allowed to do that. That is the answer to that. If you're still unsure about that, give me a shout after the program and I'll discuss that with you. But just be very, very careful in what you're doing there, alhamdulillah. So let's take it easy and let's just now get ready for travel. Lots of people are going. Last night we were in Roshni, one of our friends invited us out there. So we were just discussing when it comes to going abroad and so on. Talking about travel at the moment, and then also when it comes to traveling now, there are people that are so confused what to do, what not to do. You have the do's and don'ts, but first of all, your 10 top travel tips that I would like to give you. First of all, very important, check your passport. Validity of your passport must be minimum 6 months. They will not take you on if you have a passport which is less than 6 months valid. That is why when you're coming closer towards 8-9 months of your passport, rather apply for another passport. Get another passport, have it. When you go to Home Affairs, you show them and tell them, here's my passport, I'm applying for another one because this one is going to be expiring soon, so I need to get another one as soon as possible. And they will give it to you, not a problem, that's fine. Have a valid passport. Secondly, make sure that before you're traveling, make a copy of all your passports, all your tickets, all your itineraries while you're abroad, and leave it with somebody at home. Secondly, take copies, and if you're traveling in a group, share those copies amongst the people of the group. Do not keep it all on you with your passport, because then you're being foolish. So you have the original passport, give your partner the copies. Let them keep that. In the event of anything happening, if need be also, take copies of your passports. Some hotels keep your passports, but others that don't keep your passports, give them copies of your passports. Let them have your passports, so when you got that, when they've got your passports, perfect. If anything does happen, it becomes very easy. And I must give you this perfect example that happened to us in Italy once. We were in a group, And there was an Australian family that were with us in Rome, and we were having breakfast that morning. And we were told time and time again, do not leave bags unattended. Do not leave anything on the floor between your legs also, and keep it with your legs, because it's going to disappear. You'll never feel it. It's going to disappear. But sometimes we are so complacent and people don't listen because they're so engrossed in the fantastic breakfast of theirs. So what happened is, this particular family of five, I think, four or five, they were sitting at the breakfast table with us. And in Italy, you have those gypsies that come. They've got those long robes. It looks like a long black abaya, but it's a long robe. And it's a very broad robe. What happens there with their arms is, they have false arms that's now showing out of the sleeves on the sides. Their arms are inside, under the dress of this. And I've seen it myself. I'm telling you out of first hand I saw it. They have their arms inside. They have some type of a hook or whatever it may be underneath their dress of theirs. As they walk past you, they are so sharp, these people. They walk past you. Under your chair, between your feet, you have your bag. The way they grab that bag with that hook of theirs, they just pull the bag. Your feet are still there, intact. You think you're still keeping your bag with your feet. That bag is gone underneath that robe. That person is gone already. And it happened to this particular Australian family. And the thing was, this people had no information about their passports and so on. We tried to assist them as well. They had to go to the embassy. When they went to the embassy, those people said, you know what, we got to now get your information from Australia, get all the details, and then we can reissue you with documents. And that took a couple of days. Now, they had the passports, copies, and everything with them. All they had to do was produce those copies at the embassy and say, here's my copies, this is my passport, these are my details, this is the information. Then for them to check on that, all they had to do was cross-check on the other side. If all that was valid, they could just issue from the embassy, they could just issue a temporary document. Very easy. It could have been done within 24 hours. And that is when I learned, and it was learned the hard way, not by myself, but within the people, within the group that we went with. And that's when I looked at it and I said, how true, and we've got to be very careful. It's so important that we got to abide by these rules and regulations when it comes to these things. So it's important that we follow these rules and make sure we always keep the copies of passports at home as well as there. So just do that all the time. That is one very, very important thing. And then you have your currency. Make sure you have your receipts of your currency. Lots of people go to the airport to do currency change. When they get to the airport, they do not have proof of residence. To get your currency, you've got to have your proof of residence. It is very, it's very, very important you have that. So when you're doing currency at the airport, last minute, going out of the country, take proof of residence with you. Take your passports, obviously, go to the bank, wherever it is, and go do your currency change. You will need that information. So do that. You have to do that when it comes to those things. That is the next thing that you have to do. And then what you have to do also is, before you leave for any country, just check with the country concerned, what's required, what vaccinations are required. That is something which many people don't do. If need be, if you have a yellow card, whatever it is, what they call it, take it with you. It doesn't hurt you to take it with you. Keep it with you with your passports all the time. You may not need it, but just keep it with you. Just be safe. Because if you go to a country where it's needed and you don't take it, you have a problem. And that is why you rather just keep it with you. On that note, when we went to Saudi Arabia, lots of people, when we got off the plane, when we came to Jeddah, and those that didn't have yellow cards, those Arabs were standing there. I just heard this one guy coming with needle in his hand. Poke, 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 poke. So I don't know, what poke? Who wants to poke it? What poke? It doesn't tell the people that, listen, do you need injection or do you have your yellow card? Just poke, 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 and it's going on one way. What a laugh we had. But that is for the yellow card. So just have that yellow card with you so you don't have to get poked on that side with good needles. So just be careful and keep that in mind. Make sure you have that also. Your itinerary is important to leave at home so people know where you are. In the event anything happens, if MH370 disappears or whatever it may be, they know on which flight you were. So that is important that you have your itinerary left at home so people know on which flight you were, on which day. If you are taking multiple flights, connecting flights and so on, have it with you. So that is also very, very important that people know where you're traveling. Today we have technology, so you have your WhatsApp, which you can go throughout the world with, where you have all the airports having open Wi-Fi, so you can just log on and you can register yourself with that country to tell the people at home, I am now in this particular country, this airport, whatever it may be. It makes it so easy. Do that, keep that in mind all the time. Also, another thing which is important, when you go anywhere abroad, get to the airport, try buying a SIM card of the local country immediately. Buy a SIM card and just distribute the numbers on your WhatsApp to the important people and keep it with them. That is very, very important also. So they have contact with you all the time. Do that. Although you can use your telephone or your cell phone anywhere in the world, but when you come back, you're going to jump sky high with the bill that comes up to you. So just be very careful of that also. When it comes to data when you're traveling abroad, be very careful. They charge you an arm and a leg, sometimes up to 150 rand a meg even. Be very careful on that, on what currency, what values you're looking at as well. So it is important that you have all that in order. And, you know, just another very important thing is obey the law. Wherever you're going, obey the law. Don't be one up and think, you know, I know too much. Just obey the law of that country. All countries have their own laws. Don't be too clever. It doesn't help. And then another thing, while you're in the plane, now very quick, in fact, we're going out of time already, and I've also got to rush out from here at the moment. The do's and don'ts of travel, you have different types of travelers that goes into planes, and you sometimes get agitated with the type of travelers that you have in planes. And those are the travelers that irritate you, you've got to be just patient with them. But don't be one of them to irritate others. You have the rapid recliner, they call them the rapid recliners. And as soon as you get into the plane, the guy presses the button on the armrest and he drops his seat backwards. And now you, the person that is sitting at the back, his knees are just being banged. Or alternatively, if he's looking forward and the way you recline your seat, you bang his head from the front. And just be very polite in how you go back with your seat. Go slowly backwards if you have to. But don't just go and rush and drop the seat completely. Be kind enough as to look at the back and say, okay, this person is a good sized person and I can go probably halfway down only. A small sized person, okay, I can go full down. Or that person has now relaxed his seat a bit, so now I can also relax my seat a bit. Do that. Be kind when you do that. Then you have those incessant talkers on flight as well. If you find that you have somebody sitting next to you and they start cackling, they start talking, you know, sometimes some of those that suffer from verbal diarrhea, when they sitting next to you and they suffer from verbal diarrhea, or if you yourself sitting in a plane, you suffer from verbal diarrhea, and you start talking and that person just gives you short answers, yes, no, yes, no. Get the hint. That person doesn't want to make a conversation with you. So don't keep on harping and now start talking and going on and on and on forever with that person. Cut it short. Do what you have to do. Another thing, when that person is reading a book, when that person is reading something in front of them, don't you peek and read with them in their newspapers and their books and their novels and so on. That is very rude to do. Don't do that. And that happens all the time. Don't do that. So that is another thing. Then you have the armrest bended. You have the armrest of the plane is very narrow, as we know. It's very narrow. But you can share it. You know, you take a portion of the 8 centimeters or 10 centimeters, you take 5 centimeters with your elbow and that guy takes 5 centimeters with his elbow. Share it. If you don't have to, don't. If he's now taken the whole 10 centimeters, it's fine. Allah will reward you for that, inshallah, for making ikram for your neighbor in the plane. So let's do that even. Don't fight over the armrest, which we find people pushing arms and knocking arms and so on. Don't do that. Then you have that multi-bag mayhem where when you go in the plane and you find many a times people, especially when you're coming from Thailand, you'll find this. People coming in with like about 5 or 6 bags and they're banging from seat to seat coming to put it into the cabin on top. And when they come to the cabin, there's no space, they start pushing. And you got now a delicate little, fancy little ornament in the bag of yours. You got it in the cabin on top, and now you've carried that bag so carefully. You brought it into that cabin of yours. You put it above your seat. Next best thing, this person comes with 4 or 5 bags, and they start pushing and forcing, and they push your bag into the corner, and they damage your item. Don't be one of those people to push those bags and bring bags like that, because you know how it feels if you've got something delicate and somebody come and push your bag and damage your stuff. So just be very, very... very kind in doing what you do best is go in one bag, small bag, take it, put it in. Don't come with hundreds of bags and you find all that. Especially with us, you have one packet of samosas, one packet of pies, and you got all that, and now you all that is in your hand. Now you got 2 bags, 1 hand luggage. Now you're trying to force that on top even. Leave the samosas and pies in your hand luggage that you put one side. When you're sitting to eat, when the meals come, and then you open up and your whole plane smell full of samosas and pies. Wow, oh, that is lovely. And then you have that in your hands. That is different, but all those other big bags you have, be very wary about that. Let us not inconvenience people. And then you have the seat grabbers, that when the person at the back, don't be the person that when you're sitting at the back and you want to go to the toilet, you don't just stand up on your from your seat to go up, but you'll hold the seat in front of you, stand up, and you'll the way you'll pull that seat in front of it, like you can rip it off the bolts and nuts on the bottom even. Take it easy. Don't lean on the front seat with your arm and pull the seat back when you want to stand up. Try and do it nicely, stand up, you know, lift your armrest if you have to on the side, if you're in the middle or somewhere. Lift your armrest and stand up, hold the top or hold your seat and get out of the seating area. Don't pull the front seat and go down. And then you obviously, you know, sometimes we have to have patience with children in flight, on flight as well. So just, you know, when it comes to children, that's a different issue. That I don't want to say much because I also sometimes get irritated. So there's not much we can talk about that, depending on the child. But if you smile with a child, just keep on smiling with a child. Keep it like that. Then you have those that got those mad bladders, especially when you're flying on a Cathay Pacific flight or going to Hong Kong. I've seen it time and time again. When the plane must just take off, next best thing, the seatbelt sign goes off, the queue is already by the toilet. Oh. That now irritates. But anyway, be that as it may, you find some of them, they just love going to the plane toilets. They just enjoy going to the plane toilets. So they just stand up and go toilet all the time. Don't be one of those that if you are in sitting on the window at the window seat, you got two people next to you, you're going every 10 minutes to the toilet or every 15 minutes to the toilet. Rather book an aisle seat if you feel you have a weak bladder. Book the aisle seat so it's easy for you to just get up and go to the toilets. You don't have to now jump over those people and kick them and move them and inconvenience them. While they're sleeping also, you're tripping over them and that's not on. So just, you know, please take it easy. Relax. There's a couple of other things as well, but we'll when we have more time on discussing that, inshallah, we'll try and cover those things. But this is the gist of it all. Just be very, very, be kind with your travel, with your fellow passengers. Try and be kind with them, and inshallah, Allah will make it easy for you. So that's how it is, alhamdulillah. Anyway, be that as it may, we're already out of time here, inshallah. What we'll do is, next week we should cover with the Malaysian embassy, we should cover tourism Malaysia, and we're probably going to talk Malaysia next week. But more than that, let us see what happens. I hope all of you that are getting ready to move, you have a great holiday. Let us make dua for rain, inshallah. Let us make dua for everybody. Please make dua for me in particular as well. Allah make it easy for us all, inshallah. And when it comes to travel, whatever I said to anybody, please forgive me. If I harmed anybody in my talks while I've been talking throughout the years, I would say, please forgive me if I harmed anybody. From myself, Muhammad Lambat, until next week, same place, same time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.